On this episode of the Muley Freak Podcast, I'm sitting down with Hunter Okerlund and Eric Van Workum, and we're talking about the whitetail hunt. Well, originally it was just a deer hunt. They were going up for either whitetail or mule deer in Montana, and it turned into a whitetail hunt. But we're sitting down with them. The YouTube video that accompanies this podcast is live on the YouTube channel. So if you want, you can go on and check the video out prior to listening or after. It doesn't matter. They go hand in hand. But it was kind of cool. It was Hunter's first filming experience for Muley Freak, and it's just an all-around awesome ending to a great hunt and a short-term hunt. So for those weekend warriors out there, you're going to get a little dose of how it happens at a fast pace. Before I jump into the podcast, we have a coupon code with Wilderness Athlete. MF10 will get you 10% off any and all supplements, gear, apparel, goodies on the Wilderness Athlete website. So you can jump on, load up your cart, buy your goodies for the new year. By all means, get on there and purchase your stuff and use that coupon code MF10. Also, on the MuleyFreak.com webpage for the entire store, podcast15 is the code that we are giving to podcast listeners to knock 15% off your cart price. It's a little thank you to the listeners. Thank you for your support. And if you're going to buy Muley Freak gear, you might as well save some money doing it. Get on there. We've got a lot of good stuff coming down. So keep an eye on the webpage, Instagram, and Facebook, and know when those products come up so you can get on there and snag them. So thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate your support. Here's this week's episode. You're dialed in to another episode of the Muley Freak Podcast.
Well, the wind was just tremendous there where yeah. We were staying. Like, just, I mean, there were times the side of the tent trailer was folded in, hit me in the face. I'm like, I woke Hunter, I'm like, dude, look at this, Hunter. Yeah. This thing's freaking hit me in the, touched me in the side of the cheek.
Yeah, they're not very aerodynamic either. Those unscripted, real conversations about everything to do with Western big game hunting.
It's crazy how sometimes these things happen. You got to get out in the woods if you want to kill. Yeah. Like, if you're getting out there, you're going to have opportunities. Whether you cash in on those opportunities is going to be up to your skill level and the time you put in behind your crap.
Tips and tactics, opinions, where we've been, where we're going. Here's this week's episode. So when Hunter was editing the whitetail video, I kind of was watching over his shoulder through the whole thing. So I got to see some of the clips that even got cut out and whatnot. But the, I mean, I don't know. I hate to jump like right to the sweet spot.
Right.
But that kill shot was badass.
That's pretty cool.
I'm glad you're like, hey, fast forward to that. Watch that. That's legit. So let's lead up to that. How did you, was this an over the counter tag or was it something that you drew for it? Okay. Yeah. And once you found out you drew it, I mean, did you have like any time to kind of set a game plan, or did you have some contacts or
usual Eric, no planning,
just flying by the seat? Well, you knew somebody that was like,
yeah, me and Brandon had hunted together like 3 years ago,
the same spot.
We pulled a daily double.
Okay.
No, different spot. I shot 3 years ago, I shot a buck and a bull on the same day.
Okay.
Got them the whole animal, the buck and the bull, completely in the truck. So I drove home with a buck, a full-bodied buck and a full-bodied bull on the back of the truck.
Nice.
Killed them both the same day. Bull was the morning, buck was the evening. That was pretty cool.
Dude.
That's crazy.
So I actually, Brandon and I had no plans of hunting together.
This year?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
No, he smoked a whitetail. I was like, dude, nice job on your whitetail. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. He's like, you should come up. And I'm like, well, I was going to head east and kind of like I did the year before and check that out. He's like, well, if you get some time, why don't you head my way? I was like, well, maybe I could do it. Maybe I could go for a day and a half, 2 days. I was like, maybe I could squeeze 2.5 days out of it.
Yeah.
And so I told Hunter, I was like, man, you're going on your first film job. And packed the vehicle and away we went.
Nice.
Pulled the jumping jack.
I do remember that one was a short notice deal. I remember I came by and you guys were just taking the jumping jack out. And I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
They're off and running.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
And I was a little nervous because I wasn't sure how it was going to be.
Yeah.
Because Dallin had a heck of a time like the week before.
Yeah, the week before I took Dallin on his first hunt.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That was a nightmare. Down said you beat the shit out of him.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he called me one crazy son of a bee. We'll have to talk about that one. But yeah, we just got off that hunt. So I think, you know, I showed up here at the shop the next week, and I was just like, hey, who's coming with me to...
Alan's like...
We're all doing nose goes.
Yeah. He's like, I got this going on. My wife's got this. I just can't get away from... One of you is going, so I'll let you guys figure it out.
Draw straws.
Yeah. Little did I know I'd be sleeping in the jumping jack.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Plenty That's of food, happened. Plenty of water everywhere. Yeah. Smoke a big old buck.
Come back for lunch.
Take nap. Those zippers were pretty.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up because I mean, jumping jacks. That thing served us well for this whole first year of having it. Right, we've used it a ton. Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
But the R&D department's gonna hear about those zippers.
Yeah, the zippers were a little bit.
But it's an easy fix. We'll throw some. Some paracord on there and call it good.
Yeah, it ain't that big of a deal. But yeah, they're super annoying. Well, the wind was just tremendous there where we were staying. Like, just, I mean, there were times the side of the tent trailer was folded in, hit me in the face. I'm like, I woke Hunter, I'm like, dude, look at this, Hunter.
Yeah.
This thing's freaking hit me in the, touched me in the side of the cheek.
Yeah, they're not very aerodynamic either, those
jumping jacks. It's just a giant kite.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure if those rocks were going to hold us there the whole night.
Wind was so fierce, it picked up that bat wing and set me down a couple times.
Oh, yeah. It's in the middle of the night.
Yeah. I mean, 200 pounds on that bat wing.
I had an extra 35 pounds, so I didn't have to worry about it.
It couldn't do that to Hunter. It did it to me.
Tell you what, it's sure nice to probably have one of those and set it up and just throw the heater buddy on and you're set.
Dude, it's so nice. Yeah. It's like game changer. Then you throw up that picnic table.
Yeah.
You kind of organize your gear, and rather than eating off a paper plate in the palm of your hand.
Sitting down at a table.
Sit down at a table.
Yeah.
And the pads, as long as you organize them right, it's super comfortable, just like a mattress.
Yeah.
You got to make sure you match them up good.
Yeah.
And then you put like a fat old, like, Kodiak canvas or Teton sleeping bag on there.
Yeah.
And it's like, I told Aaron, it's like sleeping in the Hilton.
Nice.
He finally learned.
Getting the sleep system down.
Right.
So you guys got there, and based off the video, it was kind of like within the first little while, you knew that your original game plan wasn't going to be the original game plan.
Well, I was kind of hesitant to go up there and hunt with Brandon because he's like, yeah, I found some whitetails, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, man, I don't want to shoot a whitetail. I'm a muley freak, man. Yeah. I want to go kill a muley.
But like, your tag was good for both, right?
Yeah, so tag was good for both.
You had like a fallback if you,
right.
I got you.
So we got up there and we kind of found a little state piece of ground that we kind of wanted to focus on, but it was like, I don't even think it was a whole section. And we went up there and there wasn't a cricket there.
Really?
Mm-mm. They'd moved off onto private. So I was like, well, there goes the mule deer hunt. And so we headed a little bit south. And we decided to hunt some river bottoms.
Nice.
For whitetail. So as we're heading over there to kind of hunt some cliffs, you know, we're spooking out. It was pretty cool seeing. Whitetail are beautiful.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. They're beautiful. The way they run, the tails flop side to side as they run away. They're absolutely gorgeous animals. And I won't lie, they're way better to eat than mule deer.
Yeah.
They're tastier.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't that bad that we were going to go after.
But you got excited that you were actually seeing them. And,
So we get over there. We're heading to Glass. And, you know, Brandon obviously knew the lay of the land, which is super helpful.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't done any scouting, obviously. And, you know, we're starting to see a couple bucks.
Nice.
And Hunter, of course, getting excited. Oh, that's a good one! Shoot down. I'm like, no, Hunter. That's not a good
that's
one.
That's what Dallin was joking about, too, when he went with you. He was like, anything that had bone, he's like, man, I don't know. It's good looking
buck. Did he tell you that?
Yeah, he's like, that's a good looking buck, so he could kill it and get the hell out of
like
here.
There's like a 144 point that pops out. He's like, man, that's a pretty nice buck. I'd kill the hell out of that buck. I'm like, no. I didn't come in here to shoot that.
Yeah. That's funny.
He just like, when can I go home? When can I go home?
So Hunter had to put the deer goggles on then to kind of siphon out some not so shootable bucks.
Right. But I mean, they were cool bucks. There was one that we had, and then there's video footage of him on the film, but there was one that was kind of weird. He was like a spike by three or something weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he sat and just looked at us, then he bedded down in front of us, and Brandon kept saying, I bet you can't hit him. I bet you can't hit him.
Yeah.
Trying to and, and then Hunter's like, I bet you can't hit him. I'm like, I bet I can, but I'm not going to.
So to see how long it would take before he finally pulled the trigger.
Yeah. And then I lay my crosshairs on him, just kind of joke. I'm like, fine, watch this. I'm going to kill him. Brandon's like, we can find bigger bucks. I was like, that's what I thought, sucker.
Yeah, his guilty conscience kicked in. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I thought, sucker.
Well, he's a good friend.
Yeah, he's a good friend.
That's a good way to weed him out.
I was thinking that. I was like, man.
That's a good pal.
That is a good pal. I thought he was going to let me kill him.
Some Joe would have been like, shoot it.
Go for it.
Load it up.
Shoot it. Let's be done. I know Hunter was like, man, I don't know how long this is going to take. I don't know how nasty this is. He's like, shoot him, man. Hunter was hoping I'd shoot him.
So you get there. You're finally starting to see some bucks. Things are looking up. You're not quite so down about the whitetail. What happens? I mean, then what's the game plan from there?
What do? We went and got some lunch.
Yeah, we went and got some lunch, but then we just kept seeing that smaller buck, and he just sat there and stared at us forever. But then we saw a bunch of does, so you kind of were just like, well, I didn't come out here just to go home empty-handed. Yeah. So then you went and bought a doe tag.
Right.
Yeah, just in case.
Right, just in case. So I was like, you know, I've seen a bunch of does, and I love the meat, and I'm like, man, this would be fun.
Yeah.
So when I got a doe tag, and one came out and smoked her.
Nice.
Yeah. 400 something yards or something.
Took a little bit of the monkey off the back for a 2.5 day trip.
Took a little bit of monkey off the back, had the confidence was high.
That's good.
Yeah.
Especially for a 2.5 day trip. I mean, you know, you're always battling Father Time when it comes to that.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
To have that kind of knocked out of the way is nice. Makes the trip a little bit more relaxing. You can enjoy it.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah, and Hunter wanted some meat, too. So I was like, man, give Hunter some meat.
There you go. I can't go wrong with that.
It's good.
Heck, it's really good.
So then we're just, at that point, we're just prepping for the evening hunt, more or less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've only got, like, what, an evening and another day left, or an evening and...
So at that point, it was still the first day, wasn't it, Hunter?
Yeah.
First day, already taken an animal and was just going to wait for the evening, and so just hunkered in. So we would have technically been there another day and a half.
Oh, okay.
Past that first day.
Okay.
So 2.5 days, because we probably want to be home sometime Sunday night.
Yeah.
Right.
So, we had a little bit of time. So we just got back in those cliffs and hunkered down, and was just glassing, looking for animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On kind of the same patch? Were you moving around a little bit?
No,
or were just kind of
hunkered in, watching the same group, and just glass, 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 glass.
Nice.
That was a strategy. We knew at some point the bucks would get up and move. It was a little bit windy, and we didn't see any bucks that morning.
Yeah.
And we knew they were there. It's funny, in the video, I'm like, there's got to be a big buck here. Yeah. I kept saying that.
Just because it looked like it.
It just looked good. Yeah. I'm like, there's got to be a big buck here.
Yeah.
And just so happens that bucks started to move. We started to see a few bucks get up, and brush and willow thicket was so extreme that it's like, if you saw them,
it's like split second and they're buried again.
Exactly. And whitetail, they have pretty white horns, antlers.
Yeah,
excuse me. And so you see that flash of white antler, it's like, okay, that's buck. Like, you knew.
Yeah.
And that thicket was anywhere on the close side from 300 to probably 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like we were looking at vast.
Yeah, you were pretty
landscapes and stuff. We were focused on one small little portion.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like we had all this country to hunt. We had slivers.
Yeah.
We had slivers to hunt.
Wow. But I mean, that's were they focused on does at all, or were they kind of?
Not really. It was like the last week of October.
Yeah, and everybody, all of the deer were all split up. Like, if you'd see a doe, she was by herself.
Oh, really?
If you'd see a buck, he was by himself. There was a couple where you'd see a bunch of does going together, but you'd never see a buck pushing does.
Yeah. So really? they were done and done with that, though.
Right. No, they hadn't even started.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were probably 2-3 weeks out from even starting. So I decided to kind of head up there. I was like, man, if I could knock... I had still had a bunch of tags left. I was like, man, if I could knock out this one tag early... Because I was planning on going up in 3 weeks. I'm like, I knocked this one out early. That's 1 weekend I get to stay home with my family.
Yeah.
So that's why I went up there early. It was kind of a gamble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to play with the time a little bit.
Exactly.
But it's good that you were getting into bucks and you actually were seeing some action. And I mean, it wasn't a total waste of time.
No, absolutely not.
Confidence builder for sure.
Yeah.
So after sitting there hunkered down in the wind, I mean, how long did you have to sit there for that day? Did you spend the rest of that day glassing?
Yeah, so we spent the rest of that day glassing, and we probably had, what, 5 minutes of light left?
At the most.
And it seems like all of us spotted this buck at once.
Yeah. Oh, really? You and Brandon did.
Yeah, but me and Brandon spotted at the same time.
Yeah.
He's like, big buck. I'm like, yep.
Nice.
And because this buck just got up out of his bed, and he just started moving.
Yeah.
And I probably had, how much time did we have? How much space did he have to cover before he was going to be out of sight?
Well, in the video, Brandon yells to get him to stop.
Yeah.
If he wouldn't have stopped, he was gone.
From the video, like another body length, and he's buried.
And he's gone. Yeah.
That's what it looked like in the video.
And the wind's just ripping.
Yeah, you can even hear it.
Ripping. Yeah. And Brandon's like, we got to get down there. We got to get closer. I'm like, and my instant thought was, if we get down there, because we were right there where those cliffs were, where we were probably above him 75 vertical feet.
Yeah.
So we kind of,
we had a vantage point.
We had a vantage point. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we got down in there,
dude, you're in a corn maze.
Nope.
Yeah.
We're not going to see him. And it's going to be dark. I'm like, there's very slim chance that we get a shot off.
Yep.
And I'm like, man, we don't got time. Brandon's like, let's get down there. I'm like, we don't got time.
Yeah, there's no way.
We don't got time. He's like, can you make that shot from here? I'm like, yeah, I make that shot. He's been giving me crap the whole time.
And this whole time.
Long range stuff. Bah, bah, bah.
This whole time since they said, oh, big buck, I'm on the camera trying to figure out where the heck this thing is. And I'm asking him, where is he? Where is he? Where is
he's sweating bullets.
I'm like,
because he's going to miss a kill shot.
Because he knows the window's going to be tight.
Yeah. I don't have time to help him find the buck on the camera.
No way. And I just zoom into this spot, and
he walks.
He walks right there.
Buck walks right into frame. Isn't that nice?
Like on cue. Cue the buck. Send the buck out. Yeah. Get him on stage.
Right. It's crazy. So I have to say, like, I catch quite a bit of flack for hunting long range. I've made some extreme shots this year, and I consider myself very fortunate. But I've practiced for years and years to be able to execute.
Yeah.
I don't look at an animal and then hike back up the mountain to see how far I can get.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I want to be as
That's a big misconception,
I
think.
I get as close as I can to that animal.
Yeah.
But this is why I learn shooting. This is why I learn long range. Because when that big buck, considerably a buck of a lifetime, gets up, and I have a 10-second window and 40 yards to get him killed.
Yeah.
At 791 yards, I want to be able to make that shot.
Yeah. Yep. And not have to worry about, I got to get to 300 yards.
Yeah, because that never would have happened.
Yeah, yep.
And it was completely ethical. He dropped like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah. That's interesting that you bring that up, because if you're, without question, I think the moral line's got to be drawn with, if you question it, don't pull the trigger.
Right.
But if you don't, if you know you're good, fire away if you have any question about it, don't do it.
Not everyone could do it
exactly, but
and that's okay.
In your case, you knew, you sat down, I got 10 seconds, there's no question I can do it, cameras on him, spotters on him, off we go, no question about it. And that 15 seconds of maybe I can make that shot, I don't know, maybe buck's gone. You're coming home empty-handed.
And you know, I shoot a mill scope, and let's just say we figure it was a 30, 35 mile an hour wind. I had to make that decision quick. I didn't have time to pull out a Kestrel.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, the wind here is like this over here.
What did you use to kind of guess with that? I mean,
just how it was ripping.
Is that just because you'd been in a 10 mile an hour wind and you knew it was harder than that? And it wasn't, you know, like, you just kind of.
I kind of know what my bullet will do at 1,000 yards with a 5 mile an hour wind.
Okay.
And so I kind of did a little bit.
Kind of use that as a gauge a little bit.
I use that a little bit of gauge to be like, okay, at 800 yards, what's my bullet going to do with 35 mile an hour wind?
You know? Yeah.
And kind of use that. And, you know, we got back. Well, first off, let's not get too far ahead. You know, I squeeze the trigger, click.
Yeah.
I'm like, mother.
Oh, yeah.
The buck's still sitting there.
I did hear that, yeah.
The buck's still sitting there.
I couldn't believe it.
I can't believe whitetails don't typically stick around, but I think he was so confused because of all the wind.
Not only, he's freaking 800 yards away with that much wind. He had no. In fact, you can kind of see in the video, like, it kind of looks like he's looking at you at first, but then his vision kind of starts to glide a little bit. Like, he doesn't know what the hell's going on, but he's looking that way.
Right.
But he was more concerned about trying to pinpoint something, there's no way he would have heard anything.
Right.
I mean, he probably barely heard you guys yelling at that distance with that wind. You know what I mean? Right. So, but it was nice to have that. It gave me anxiety when you go click. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah. It's like, oh, well.
Yeah.
Got back on him. Steady. Took a deep breath. Squoze.
Smoked him.
Smoked him.
I mean,
him.
It's like.
Smoked him. Brandon's like, get another one in him. Yeah. Hunter's like, he's dead. He's like, I don't care. He's not get another one in him. I'm like, and I just kind of stayed on him in case. I was going to put another one in him. I'm like, I think he's okay. But we figured when we got back to the rig and we were doing a little bit of math, we figured there was over nine feet of wind drift.
Really?
It was a hell of a shot.
Just based off where your crosshairs were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I gave him a little bit too much wind because I caught him back of the neck, front of the shoulder.
Yeah.
So I gave him a little bit too much wind.
But you were shooting it right round to be able to compensate for that. I mean,
6.5 PRC, man. Yeah. That thing has been deadly.
That's awesome.
This year.
That's awesome.
I got a suppressor on it, so there's virtually no recoil.
Yeah.
I can sit behind that thing and just...
That's
and it'll bounce a little bit in my hand. It's not like I can... But I can, for the most part, I can stay inside the scope.
Yeah. Wow.
But let me tell you this, though. There's no feeling when you got two of your buddies there and there's that intense of a situation. You get the buck to stop. The wind's just ripping like that. And you hear everyone just say, smoked him.
Yeah.
You're like...
He's down. Yeah.
It's just like... It's just awesome.
Yep.
There's not a feeling like it. Yeah. It's like hitting a game winner, you know?
It's cool because at that point, I mean, you're right. There's a lot of stress when it comes to that because
oh man,
you miss at that distance. You immediately start questioning yourself.
Oh, yeah.
What did I do? What did I screw up?
Then you talk about it forever, man. We could have been done or, you know, we could have had a buck of a lifetime. Yeah. Man, I wonder how big that buck was.
Yeah, exactly.
He looked nice.
Yep.
You know?
Being able to seal the deal like that's, yeah.
But that's where all the practice and years of hard work kind of come together.
That's awesome. That's awesome. 147
grain ELDM match ammo. That's just factory ammo.
Yeah. Wow.
And the reason I shoot, I got a lot of questions about the reason why I was shooting the M over the X, because Hornady markets the X for hunting, but I'm shooting, quote unquote, their target round for hunting. They basically have the same ballistic tip. Okay.
Okay.
And they're built to expand the same.
Similar expansion then.
Similar expansion. The difference one of the differences, Hornady doesn't do all that testing on animals that they do with the X, that they do with the M. So there's a lot more testing
and
things that go into the X versus the M. But with that proof
M instead of the X.
Yeah, M instead of the X. Okay. Gotcha, sorry. But my proof barrel on that gun likes that M a little better.
Really?
I mean, it's just stacking
bowls. So you shot both.
I shot both. And they both shot great.
Yeah.
But the M shot just a little bit better.
Gotcha.
I mean, stacking bullet holes at 100 yards with factory ammo.
Nice.
I was like, man, I don't know. This M's pretty good. And I hear a lot of guys using the M. And I was like, I'll try it. Well,
yeah.
I called the engineer, one of the chief engineers at Hornady, and told him, I'm like, hey, I'm shooting the M over the X, and I've killed an elk with it.
Yeah.
I've killed a buck at 1,242 yards, a mule deer buck. I just killed the whitetail at 791, and I told him a little bit of my experience. He's like, man, you got no... We just don't market it that way, but those do great on animals as well.
Yeah. So. Well, there you go. They got a little secret market hidden away right there.
and the guys that hunt the burger or shoot the burgers, they're shooting target loads too.
Oh, yeah.
Those burgers are VLDs.
For a lot for the same reason.
Hybrids.
A lot for the same reason. They put a lot more testing into the match grade stuff, and a lot more data comes out for their testing than the hunting market stuff.
Guys get into BCs, and they see higher BCs on the target because, you know.
It's what it's made for.
One of the reasons why they do it. But, man, that Hornady match ammo out of the proof barrel.
Yeah.
Was incredible. And I've heard a lot of guys saying that are shooting that PRC, at 6.5 PRC.
Yeah.
They're getting incredible groups and shooting incredibly well. Why would you even reload when you're getting those kind of groups? You don't even have to reload. Look at all the time you're saving.
I was going
to
say, that's one of the main reasons guys do reload is to get those kind of groups. So if you are already pulling those kind of groups, there's no reason.
Yeah, I don't even think you can reload for that cheap.
Yeah, that's...
For the time.
That's awesome. So... Buck goes down and a freaking sack of potatoes.
Yeah, and we try to get over there as quick as we can. It's getting dark. Yeah. Like, we get halfway over there, and it's like, man, it's a good thing we
made the shot while we could because it was pretty dark.
So you guys, did you have to kind of make your way through the thicket there? Did you kind of have to go, I mean, did you
go over the water and through the woods basically, you know, got a little bit wet and you get down there and it's like completely different country. I mean, those willows are tall. They might as well be trees.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And try to find a way. And eventually we ran into them and I got my hands on them and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You seen pictures of him, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Super narrow, but heavy.
Yeah, he's
tall tines.
He's massive
for and long main beams.
Yeah, he's a cool looking buck, man. Man. I mean, for a whitetail, you can't complain about that.
Yeah, I think
all.
I scored him at 145.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
For a whitetail buck, that's and cool. That's with no inside.
Yeah. Yeah. Spread, like yeah.
So give him a little bit of that. He's 150, but I mean that's. I don't know. Out west, that's pretty dang good.
That is impressive. So at that point, I mean, you had basically a day to get home early at that point, right?
Yeah, yep.
Saved yourself a day for that weekend and spent some time with family and all that. So,
Mama got me home early.
How's he taste?
Delicious.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hunter took some meat home too, huh?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I got some meat.
Pretty good. Good.
I need to pick up a backstrap and tenderloin still.
Yeah.
I gave Hunter. I said, "Hey, you got to give me something.
You got to give me something."
We had tenderloin that night.
Oh, yeah. Or so we went back on the.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went back to the jumping jack, pulled out the
bacon.
The camp chef racked it in bacon and just
nice.
Grill it right there.
Chowed down.
So chowed good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, it's crazy how sometimes these things happen. You got to get out in the woods if you want to kill.
Yeah.
Like. If you're getting out there, you're going to have opportunities. Whether you cash in on those opportunities is going to be up to your skill level and the time you put in behind your craft, be it a muzzleloader, center fire, or a bow.
Yeah. Speaking for myself, there's times that I'd look at a two-day window and be like, nah, man, I can't do it in 2 days. Or you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's almost like... The wanting to put more time into it keeps you from putting any time into it.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be that way. Like I would much rather go and spend, you know, a day or two, like leave early on a Friday from work or something and go spend a day and a half or 2 days rather than staying home wishing you had 5 days.
Right. I think the important thing is that maybe you can't get it done in that short amount of time.
Yeah.
But you're out there learning.
Yeah, that was my biggest thing this fall, man. I learned more this fall than I had the previous two, three years just because it was the amount of time that I spent kicking my own ass.
It's a stiff learning curve.
It only comes from being out there and actually doing it.
You're exactly right.
You can't do any of that shit watching YouTube videos and sitting on your couch. You can't.
So you bring up an interesting point. I've owned a bow since I could... I don't know, feel like walk, but realistically, I remember having a Browning bow when I was like 8 years old.
Yeah.
I shot that up until high school when I finally borrowed my dad's bow. Mm-hmm. And I went out bow hunting the first time at 18. I didn't have a rangefinder. I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
I sat up in a tree stand because I'm like, oh,
cause this that's
is
what
how
it,
you,
yeah.
Yeah, this yeah. is how you kill animals. You sit in a tree stand and wait for them to walk by.
Yep.
Well, I fell out of the tree stand. I didn't know what I was doing at 18.
Yeah.
Almost landed on my broadheads.
Oh, gosh.
It would have killed me. They were, like, just right here close to my chest.
Jeez.
And, you know, I left on a mission shortly after, so I didn't have time to really learn. Like, I would go out with open sights in my backyard because my dad wouldn't let me shoot a gun while he was at work.
Yeah.
And so there would be robins in the backyard eating our strawberry patch and getting into stuff.
So out came the bow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I started killing robins from, like, 30 yards, dude. Open sights. I didn't know nothing about drop and any of that kind of stuff. But I loved it, man. Loved it. So I get home, 21 years old, spent 2 years in Sweden. I get home. I get right into working in school. I didn't bow hunt until I was probably 27.
Yeah.
So I just started getting into bow, and I'm 32 now.
Yeah.
Dates me a little bit. But I'd say I've been bow hunting hard for 4 or 5 years. And Aaron at the time was chasing girls.
Yeah.
Going to school.
Yep.
He wasn't bow hunting. You can't kill shit with a bow.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I saw this bull and I saw this buck and it was a 340 bull. Yeah, all he needed was one more step and I blew him out.
Yeah.
He's just like, I just don't believe you. I'm like, no, man, I'm serious. And it took me 2 or 3 years of nothing.
Yeah.
Till I finally started killing stuff. But I spent more time in the field than probably most people you know.
Yeah.
Trying to learn it. Even though I had shot a bow and owned a bow my whole life, no one really taught me how to bow hunt. I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have someone teaching me how to do these things. I didn't listen to podcasts and I didn't freaking read books.
Yeah. You just got out there and did
it. No. And I never watched YouTube.
Yeah.
Exactly. I just went out there and learned, and I learned things the hard way. I'd come home with an empty quiver.
Yeah.
And I'd brought 12 arrows. You know what I mean? And I'd miss quality bucks. I started hunting with a couple guys, and you know, they were doing things. I'm like, no, you know, and you try to be polite. You're first starting to hunt with somebody and you're not an expert bow hunter yourself. And guys were doing things. And I'm just like, no, dude, you don't do that because you're going to blow them out. Sure enough, they blow them out. And I finally started like, I need to bow hunt by myself. I'm tired of this.
Yep.
So then I started bow hunting by myself, and then I started killing stuff.
Yeah.
And it was that consistency of believing I could do it, almost doing it for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And believing I could do it and being determined that I could do it. And then finally starting to do it.
Yeah.
That, like I told you yesterday, we were having a conversation yesterday. I'm like, consistency kills. And we're not talking about, I know this is a whitetail rifle hunt, but I'm just talking about killing.
Yeah.
Like, rifle hunting is hard too.
Yeah.
Like, bow hunting is extremely hard. But rifle hunting is hard also.
Yeah.
Like, just because you have a rifle doesn't mean you're going to go out and kill an animal.
Yeah, it's no guarantee.
Even if it's a dink.
Yeah.
Because the rifle hunts are generally during the harder times of the year. Bucks are timbered up. More people, more pressure. Things are bedding early. Well, deer during the early hunts, animals are still in that summer mode. They're pretty relaxed. You know, they don't want to go in the timber because they still got velvet. Sensitive antlers, velvet on their antlers, thus the sensitivity.
They got somewhat of a pattern.
And so there's challenges to both. Bow hunting's obviously hard. I'm not saying that. But kind of looping back to my point here is, be it a bow or a center fire, you're finally starting to kill. Like, you're getting the confidence that you know you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And having that confidence and going out on a consistent basis where you know every time you go out, I'm going to kill something. And every hunt I go on, I'm going to kill something. Then it starts to become ingrained in you. I'm not leaving until I kill something. And I'll work as hard as I can till I kill something because I know.
You know you can.
I can.
Yeah.
So that's what I try to tell Aaron. Aaron's been on some pretty tough hunts this year. And that hunt he did was a 15-day elk hunt. And I had a 13-day high country stint myself.
Yeah.
Where I blew it on a nice buck. That's what Hunter alluded to a little bit earlier, and finally executed Tyler on those two bombers the last day. But, you know, sometimes things work out and sometimes things don't. And in this situation with this whitetail buck, it worked out. I executed, but I knew I could execute and I knew I was going to a decent spot. And, you know, you just got to believe.
Yeah.
It's tough. Hunting is tough. It's challenging. It's depressing. It's very emotional. It's unpredictable.
Yeah.
You can't control other hunters. You can't control weather. And you can't control the animals. All you can do is control yourself.
Yeah.
You know? For the most part, Hunter can't control himself. But.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But anyway, it's fun. It's fun to get out there and be successful.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, driving home, we had a white-tailed doe hanging over the top of the runner. And we had a buck in the back. And, you know, we'd hunter and look behind the window, and there's a hoof just dangling in the back window. And people were giving us thumbs up. All these California people are driving by, and they're just giving us these dirty looks. Like, is this for real?
Yeah.
It was pretty redneck, but we were pretty proud.
Stopped at Black Bear Diner.
Yeah. Nice. Stopped at Black Bear Diner. We're looking. People are just going by the rig and just like, oh, my gosh. I can't believe this. That's really interesting. We our trailer lights, we had some issues there. We won't go into too much detail about those issues, but we got stopped by a highway patrolman.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Two of them.
With dead animals in the car and all that.
Yeah. Do you have a license? Yeah.
Yeah, that's
shoulder licenses and so on and so forth. She's like, where you guys headed? Tell her where we're headed. She's like, well, you guys need to pull over and go camp over here. We're like, okay. So we go over there and keep in mind, we're bloody.
Yeah.
We got dead stuff everywhere. Dead animals on the car. Okay.
Yeah.
Meat. The whole nine yards.
Why'd they tell you to pull over in camp? Just because it was dark?
Yeah. They're like, we don't want someone hitting you. This is too dangerous.
They didn't want you driving at night.
Yeah. And, and bless their hearts, they didn't give us a ticket.
Okay.
So they're just like, you need to pull over. I'm like, just, well, we don't want to sleep. We don't want to get a hotel. Like, you got a tent trailer, don't you? And we're like, yeah, we do. Well, sleep in that, she says. We're like, okay. She goes, she gives us some coordinates. She's like, go over here. So we're rolling in there. Beware of grizzly bears.
Oh, my gosh.
There's like three or four grizzly signs.
Yeah, like grizzly sightings.
And it's right next to us. Right next to a river.
Oh, my gosh.
We're like, we're not going to stay here.
Dude. Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, oh, man, I hope she's not following us. And I'm like, hopefully she understands why we can't stay
here. Yeah, nice, dude.
So we hit up another campground. So we're rolling up to this other campground. We pull in. Beware of grizzlies. Watch out for bears. Be bear aware.
Dude.
I'm like, yeah, we got to keep going.
I was like, I promised my wife I'd come back from this.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
wow.
We made it this far. I'm like, I don't want to become a freaking burrito. Inside this jumping jack in the sleeping bag. I'm like, man, Hunter's juicier. I hope he gets eaten first. No, it was just kind of comical, you know?
Yeah. Damn. So, I mean, you guys just found this regular old
Yeah, we went a little farther. Further down the road where we knew there wasn't grizzlies.
Nice.
But apparently talking to some people, there's evidently grizzlies there too.
Yeah, lots of them.
But, you know, I felt a little safer.
Yeah. Oh.
It's kind of funny.
Jeez.
Stuff that us Utahns don't have to worry about too much.
No grizzlies. No grizz here in Utah.
It's a blessing and a curse, I guess, grizzly country.
Blessing and a curse.
Well, that's good, man. I watching, you know, like I said, watching over Hunter's shoulder and watching him edit the video and seeing the footage that you guys got. I mean, for being Hunter's first go around, you know, as a cameraman, it turned out to be an awesome film.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it worked out great. Kill shot, having all that stuff, you know, unfold like that on cameras. That's good stuff. It really makes for the experience and being able to feel like you tagged along.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It's a lot easier to edit as well.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, yeah, you know the story.
Yeah, you know the story. You know what clips are just can be left out or what ones need emphasis and all that. That's right. Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
It is. That's exciting. And it makes it more exciting because it's, you know, big things coming for 2019 as well. It's only going to get better.
More hunting.
What
a little more organized.
What more films have we got coming down the pipeline that are up next? So the pronghorn one is up today.
That
right?
It just
went up today. So we'll have to do an audio podcast recap with that with Nick.
Absolutely.
We're gonna try and bang that out right at the beginning of the new year. So but yeah, for the listeners, I mean, feel free to reach out and comment to us if you like these podcasts, I guess video companions or recaps or whatever.
They're
talking
about the delving into the hunts themselves.
Yeah, like, we want these to kind of be a companion with the video so that you kind of get behind the scenes of how it all went down and some of the story. I mean, we want to edit the video to be a cinematographic experience and have the podcast be right there along with it so that you get, you know, an extra insight to how it all went down.
Absolutely, yeah. Because, you know, like in the video, we don't say, oh, there's over 9 feet of wind drift.
And, yeah.
You know.
Little stuff like that, yeah. So.
And to be honest, we feel like podcasters are a little bit more cerebral and a little less judgmental. So before they cast a judgment that, that was unethical.
Yeah.
They understand a little bit more about, my training or logistics and, you know.
Know the backstory a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I've been to several long-range shooting schools. And,
yeah.
Done a few little competitions and stuff, so.
It's.
But people don't know that. They're like, oh, man, that's garbage.
This guy's just out there. Like, this guy
in the water.
Bought the rifle last week and is just out there sending 1,200-yard shots. And
right.
Yeah, it's not the case. It's like, it's not the case.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I for the listeners, I mean, I hope that, you know, these are a helpful tool to go along with the video, and we're excited to keep doing them. So the pronghorn one will come up next, and then we got
too.
Yeah, we got the elk. We're going to do an elk companion for the elk video, and
we got a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline. It's exciting, not only in content but product as well.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Any good stuff that's, I mean, soon. Don't like quite know when, but soon, soon, right?
Soon, soon.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, really soon.
Keep an eye on the Instagram page, the Facebook page, the YouTube channel. Get on there and subscribe. And I mean, I feel like the YouTube channel we get a lot of feedback on, and it's like one of the main funnels that we get for people with their comments on the video content.
Right.
So feel free to leave your comments. Give us your thoughts and opinions and all that stuff. I mean, we like to see it. It comes directly to, you know,
right,
the people that matter and the people that can do something about it.
Right.
So it's exciting stuff. So subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe to this podcast. Check out the Instagram page. I mean, there's endless flow.
Enough to keep you entertained for a while.
We know how it is. I mean, you know, it's January's right around the corner. It's
a lot of people dreaming out hunts here soon.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Planning.
Yep.
Getting their stuff squared away for next year.
Yes, sir.
Don't be, you know, don't let cabin fever get you.
Right.
I feel like that's what the YouTube channel is best for. Helping with cabin fever a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Helping people feed the urge, you know.
Oh yeah.
Keeping them from being bored. So, but yeah, do you guys have anything else to add?
I don't think so.
Go over and watch it.
Yeah,
it's good. Go over and watch the whitetail hunt. It's pretty cool.
I agree. It was worth the watch. That kill shot's so badass.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Anyway, well, thanks for sitting down with me, you guys, and breaking it down for us.
All right, yeah, thanks, no guys. Problem. All right, bye.